Somebody said, well, a bad thing happened to me and it worked out well. Well, you know why? If you stay connected to God, God's going to help you. The mistake is made to say, well, see now, see, God did that to you so that it would something good would come of it. First of all, you've got to be real careful of that, because Romans 8:28 says, put Romans 8:28 up. I'm teaching right now. I'm teaching. We're going to do something here in a minute. You're going to like it. Romans 8:28, this is one of the most misunderstood verses in all the Bible. And we know. Everybody say, and we know. We don't think. We don't wonder. And we know that all things work together for good. Now listen to this. We know that all things work together for good to those who, say this, who love God. So first of all, for that verse to work for you, it has to be a person that loves God. So a lot of sinners are having bad things happen to them and they're still blaming God. This is only for people who love God. And we know that all things are believers. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So yes, if something bad is in your life and you commit your heart to God for help, God's going to help you because God is love. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh. Can you say that with me? Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ never told a living, breathing human being that what they were going through was God caused. In fact, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Acts 10:38. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing what?
Good.
Who went about doing what?
Good.
Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That's why there's a place for this ministry. That's why there's a reason why we're going to continue doing what we're doing. And that's why we're teaching you this thing called Faith Reminders. I am 150%, which is not possible, but I'm 100% supportive of everything Sun Valley Christian Community Church is doing. But I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing and further it along by letting people know God does want you well. God does want your mind working. God doesn't want you broke. God doesn't want you depressed. And so I'm just going to give you one sentence off this lesson sheet, and then we're going to play a song. And I'm coming back and talk some more. Can I get an amen? See, number one, and I wrote this. It's the last sentence in number one. It's the last sentence in number one. Sick bodies, sick minds, and poverty are all forms of stealing. See, when you go through something bad and it keeps you from working, or it keeps you from being the husband you're supposed to be, or the father that you're supposed to be, that's stealing. You get that? Sick bodies, sick minds, and poverty are all forms of stealing, and God is not a thief. Let's all say that out loud together. Ready? Sick bodies, sick minds, and poverty are all forms of stealing, and God is not a thief. If you want to get the rest of that and get caught up, go to the website, and we'll talk about that in more detail. And the next time we talk about it, we're going to talk about a thing called natural unbelief. Me and Teresa get to Sun Valley Christian Community Church. We sit down over middle way, you know, newcomer. I don't want to get right in the front. I kind of want to get in the middle. You know what I mean? When we get there and we sit down, we probably got there a little early, about 10:20. I thought, well, this isn't that big a crowd. You know what? Maybe 400 or 500. I'm telling you, they put an announcement on that said service would start in 5 minutes. And I looked around and that place was full. And then here come the magnificent, and I mean this, the magnificent praise and worship team. The music leader was a good-looking guy in skinny jeans. The girls were nice-looking, could sing. And the first song they sung was from Elevation Worship, called The Same God. And I'm telling you, Daddy just about lost it. I just about lost it. So we're going to play that right now, and we're going to act like we're at Sun Valley Christian Community Church. And I noticed something else too. I know we got a few people that are elderly. You know, one of the things that goes on with me, and I think Dewey, me and you have agreed with this, the older you get, the less you can tell how old somebody is. You agree with that? I'm guessing all these leaders at this church were in their mid-30s. Would that be accurate? Because, see, I still think I'm in my mid-30s until I take out jogging. And then I'm like, oh, maybe I'm not 30. Amen. So just enjoy this song. I noticed that they didn't mind playing it loud, and they did have the smoke and the vapor. We don't have that, but we got each other. Amen. Let's do this together. 5,000 people singing that song, and them dudes singing, playing that music, and then, you know, not overdoing it, stopping at 70 minutes. My gosh, it's better than ice cream at Dairy Queen. Can you say amen or oh me? So anyway, you can be seated. I got a couple things I'm going to share. I'm going to let Brother Al come up. He's got something he wants to share in a little bit, but I want to talk about some things. First thing I want to do is our dear sister Maria told us about this movie that they went to see called The Jesus Revolution. Anyway, it's playing at the Cinemark Theater now. Anyway, the ladies went. It was Ladies Night Out. And they have all that kind of stuff too. Ladies Night Out, Men's Night Out, Children's Night Out. Where are these people, Brian? Where are they? I can't get anybody to open up the door. Huh? Where are they? Okay, anyway, Maria and them went, and they said it's phenomenal. And they said that during the movie, people were actually out there shouting amen and hallelujah. And by the way, the guy that plays Chuck Smith is Kelsey Grammer, and he's been moved by God mightily. He's all over secular TV crying and giving glory to Jesus. Man, we got some things going on in the Christian community for once. Amen. We don't have to keep watching those buffoons on TV, those transvestites, and gay people that have twins that care more about their twins than they do about the people in East Palestine, Ohio, who are suffering from cancer and all kinds of things. And we're sending fighter jets to Ukraine, and we give them $100 billion. Stop the madness! Listen, now, this dude up here at Sun Valley, they didn't say one word about that. They don't offend anybody. I'm trying my dead level best to be completely supportive about Christianity, because, bless God, 5,000 people did get to hear about Jesus. But everybody ought to know that morons are running our country. And it's our fault. Don't shout me down now, because I'm preaching real good. Anyway, the Jesus Revolution is going on, so take advantage and go to that. Spend your money on this and not on Halloween 7. You know what concerns me the most about our young people is they know all about every scary movie that comes out. Man, you don't need to be watching any slasher movies. People being killed, slaughtered, and murdered. One of the things that's happened to me through this event I've gone through is I'd have refused to watch something bad. Those poor innocent kids that got killed up in Idaho. Terrible. Can I get an amen? So anyway, if you haven't been under a rock and you've been out somewhat, you know that there was a revival that broke out in a town called Asbury, Kentucky. Asbury Revival. How many of you have heard a little bit about this? This is in Asbury, Kentucky. Now, the fascinating thing about this, me and Maria were talking about this. I forgot to mention this to her. They actually had a revival in the early 70s, and I believe that that was part of the reason why I was born again in 1978. I think there was a spirit, the Holy Spirit stayed in that area, and that's part of the reason I was born again. Now, I also came up under the Catholic Charismatic move, which was a major move of God. But anyway, in Asbury, Kentucky, this revival started. They were having a Bible class. If you go on YouTube, you can actually see the sermon that the guy preached that led to the revival. And I'm telling you, again, I guess I got to be me, you know, somewhat. That sermon wasn't all that great. But for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit used that sermon. And a young man, let's go ahead and just play a little bit of that, and I'll tell you what happened to me during this. Let's play a little bit of that. So I found out about this, and I got to watching this one afternoon after work before Teresa got home. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit got on me like I was right there at that revival. I'm telling you, I'm not making that up. He started ministering to me and talking to me about the Gospel of John and how Pontius Pilate approach the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him if he was a king. And Jesus could have told him, I'm not only a king, I'm the maker of all things. And Jesus humbly said to him, you rightly say that I am a king. And he said, I came into this world to bear truth. And everybody that wants the truth knows me. And Pontius Pilate said, what is truth? And then the Holy Spirit just simply gave me two words that Jesus uttered on the cross. And it just, I thirst. Our Creator, the Creator of mankind, the God of the universe, the God who made stars and planets that are so innumerable they can't be counted, was nailed to an old rugged cross and had to say the words, I thirst. Anyway, it moved me. But this thing got started because a young man heard that man preach, and he was talking about God's love. It moved this young man. He began to come up and confess his sins and talk about how he's fallen short. And that's what started this revival, and it's spreading all over. It's in Lee, Cleveland, Tennessee, Alabama, Western Kentucky, Oklahoma State. Do you notice it ain't got nowhere near New York or California? Even the Holy Spirit. Anyway, what I want to do is I want to put some verses up. If it worked for Asbury, it'll work for Sierra Vista, won't it? Is God no respecter of persons? So let's put this verse up, Jordan. I think you can handle this part for sure. Let's put up Revelation. And I want to talk to you about something. Jesus is dealing with all the churches that are alive and going at this time, back in the day, around 2,000 years ago. And he told this group, I forget what church it is. If you look it up, tell me what church he's talking to there, Al. You know what church he's talking to here in chapter 2? It tells you the church. Yeah, the church at Ephesus. Here's what he said about the church at Ephesus. He says, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Well, you know, I was thinking about this. That's pretty much true of our ministry. I think we can say that we've persevered. I mean, we've emptied out at least two groups of people in 20-some years, and then we've still filtered enough people to come back to keep us going. So I'd call that perseverance, wouldn't you? You either call that perseverance or stupidity. Okay, and I'm going to go with the word perseverance. And I think we've been a little bit patient. And I believe that I can say honestly that I've labored not for my glory or honor. I haven't done it for my glory or honor. I haven't tried to use this to promote me. I found out if I did that wouldn't work anyway. But I think I have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Now that's 50-50. There's been some weary moments. Bryant, can I get an amen on that? There's been some weary moments. So I've said some positive things about us as a church and about me as a minister. But the next verse is where I've fallen short. Right here, the next verse. Nevertheless, I have this against you. And again, I'm taking it personal. The Bible is God speaking to me. It won't work for you if you make it work for somebody else. It's got to work for you. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. How many of you can remember how wonderful you felt and how amazing it was when you were first born again? Now, if you didn't get spirit-filled, you may not have had as much of an emotional time as people that got spirit-filled, because I got born again in spirit-filled. But I got to tell you, there was about a six-month period in my life. And I'm ashamed to admit it. I'm not really ashamed to admit it. I'm telling the truth. If it worked for Asbury, it'll work for us, right? There was a six-month period of time in my life where I didn't care about anybody but Jesus Christ. It only lasted, I made it 6 months. A hockey season. Are you listening to me? And slowly but surely, and all this is in the Bible, Mark chapter 4, every living, breathing Christian has to know the parable of the sower. If you don't, Jesus said, if you don't know that parable, none of the other parables will make any sense to you. You have to know the parable of the sower. And slowly but surely, through the process of time, all the things in the parable of the sower began to be an influence in my life. Tribulation, persecution, the cares of this world. Listen to this one. Uh-oh. Get ready to say, oh me, the deceitfulness of riches. Oh man, I believe in a prosperous life, but I know that riches can deceive you. We got a bunch of deceitfully deceived people in Washington, D.C. who are stinking filthy rich, and they got rich off you. And the reason why they want that war in Ukraine is because the industrial military complex makes billions of dollars because of war. And the reason why the deep state wants that war in Ukraine is because it keeps them in power and they get rich by the Chinese. And if you don't know that, you're living under a rock. And it's not just Democrats. It's not just Democrats. It's also a bunch of spineless, deceived Republicans. Amen? So, slowly but surely, cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. And I'm going to tell you, folks, I got caught in it. And so what I've done, and here's what I'm doing. This is the reason why I'm doing all this. I've recognized that I can't do that anymore and survive. I've got to be more into Jesus than I am into anything else, or I'm not going to survive. The devil's real. He's real. Now, he's a defeated foe, and he's a toothless lion. He's a toothless lion, but that rascal can fool you. Don't shut me down now just because I know a little bit about it. You understand God always has a pocket of people that are standing for God. Here's a man over here. Listen to me. I met somebody that's all in. I'm going to have to tell him to slow down a little bit on the Bible verses. I can't read them all. Spoon feed me, Al. There's pockets of people that are all in, but generally, primarily, the Christian church in America got caught up in the sowing the word, and we got caught up in tribulation. Nobody wants to be tribulated and persecuted. That's why they grasp the concept of the sovereignty of God, because then they don't have to take any responsibility. They just tell everybody, God did it. God did it. No, God didn't do it. God didn't put Joe Biden as president of the United States. The devil did. There's a verse in the Old Testament, I don't have it memorized, but it says, you appoint kings, but God says, not by me. See, everybody stands on that verse about how he raised up Pharaoh. And so if he raised up Pharaoh in Egypt, then he raised up Joe Biden. Please. That's a godless, senile man that's running our country. And actually, he's not running our country. He's the front of our country. Can I get an amen? So anyway, I got caught in it. And so I'm here to confess to everybody that I am sorry that I allowed more of the world to creep into my life than more of Jesus. And so here's what you got to understand about me and the gifts. It's Romans 11:29, Jordan. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Say that, everybody. I've been doing this for 26 years, 26 plus years now, and I can only think of maybe three times in the history of this church that I ever got up here and I didn't feel the presence of God and the anointing on me. You know why? The gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. Back in 1978, God in his mercy and his goodness appointed me a Bible teacher. I knew it. Nobody had to tell me. I didn't have to go to cemetery to learn it. I was a Bible teacher, and the first time I had an opportunity to teach the Bible was at the prison in Douglas, Arizona. I went down with a group of jail ministers at Shiloh. The first time we went down there, they said, we want you to sing the songs and lead the music. I said, by the way, have you heard me sing at all? Has anybody in this group heard me sing? They said, it don't matter. All you have to do in jail is sing Power in the Blood. And I'm telling you, I got up there and I started singing Power in the Blood. And then those inmates started stomping their feet. And for just about 5 minutes, I thought that might be the last of my life. And I got up and I took a text from Ezekiel that said that God would take that old stony heart out of you and put a new heart in you. And the moment I began to preach, I knew that God had called me to do it and his anointing was on me to do it. And I've been doing it ever since. But here's what people don't understand. Mr. Booker does, I think, but I think a lot of people don't understand. I got to leave here. I got to get in my car, and I'm just a man. I'm just a man. Now, I'm not just a man. I'm a supernatural, born-again man. But I got to deal with everything everybody else has to deal with. I got a wife. I got a kid. I've got kids. I don't know exactly how many I got. I know for sure three. Don't shout me down now. I'm probably going to run some of the older people off today, but stay with me. I got to deal with the same things. I got mortgages. Amen. I've got, what else do we have, Trace? Huh? I don't have any of those. I don't mean to be braggadocious, but I don't have any. I used to. I got rid of all of those. They're all paid for. Go out there and drive that Mercedes to your heart's content. But I mean, whether we want to admit it or not, I will guarantee you that percentage-wise, Christian people spend way more time in front of that TV and now that godless cell phone. It's known now that on average, people look at their cell phones 80 times a day. Let me tell you something else I've done through this deal. I've turned that thing on silent and I've turned the face of it down. I don't want to know nothing till the morning. When I get home at 5 o'clock, I don't want to know nothing till the morning. I don't want some disgruntled client emailing me and telling me I did something wrong. I don't want to find out to it till the morning. Can I get an amen? So I am repenting and telling you that to the best, I am making a concerted effort to be a Christian at my office. I have never truly witnessed to those two girls that work for me. And I got two fabulous employees. I pay them too much, but I got two fabulous employees. But I've never actually witnessed to them. Now, I have kind of backward witnessed to Christine, because I'll have her sometime type some of my lesson sheets up, and so she'll have to type them up, and then she hears the gospel through that. But I've never really told either one of those people about Jesus. And they've heard me cuss, and they've heard me complain. And I'm going to tell you that I've gone out to that golf course, and I'm regretting to have to tell you this, but there have been times out on that golf course that I've actually taken God's name in vain. And that's pitiful. That's pitiful. So I haven't played golf for 3 or 4 weeks, and I haven't missed it for a minute because I got to reset and refocus. And if I do go down there and play golf, everybody's going to know I'm a Christian. Now, I'm not a Bible-thumping Christian. I don't believe in that at all. But I'm not going to take God's name in vain. I'm not going to throw a 7-iron up in the tree where somebody has to go get it. And if I shoot 105, I'm going to shoot 105. Amen. And if the ball's under the tree, I ain't going to kick it out. I'm going to hit it from under the tree. Are you listening to me? We lead a dual life, and I'm telling you, sooner or later, that dual life will cost you something. Sin always pays a price. There's a price always to pay for sin. But thank God, where sin abounds, God's grace does that much more abound. Glory be to God. And as long as you're breathing, it's never too late. As long as you're breathing, it's never too late. Now, when you take your last breath, oh my, we better make sure we made peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to that verse in Revelation real quick first. I gotta stop here in a minute, but I wanna keep talking. Listen, let me help you on this too, though. Because I said this to you before in the past, and I need you to understand this. Another thing that I've been doing a lot is watching a lot of sermons on YouTube, and I listened to some of Billy Graham's sermons. Great man. Had salvation down pat, but he was talking about telling a group in San Jose. By the way, San Jose, California, 1981. The place was packed, filled with people. But he told them that you have to love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole mind, and your whole body. You do, but you don't. What I mean by that is, The only reason you can love properly is if you have experienced God's love. See, you can't give away what you don't have. You can't do this. You can't stand up. You can't get up in the morning and say, I'm going to love everybody. And by the way, this whole position's probably wrong. Today, I'm going to love everybody with my whole heart. I'm going to love God with my whole heart. And you won't get out of the garage until something makes you mad. Because in your natural self, you can't love God. That's the reason why the Bible says it's not that we love God, but that He loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. So what I got to do is I've got to open my heart. What I've done, and it's working. It's working, man. I had my best day ever yesterday in a long time. Maybe it had something to do with Kentucky beating Auburn by 32. I don't know. Here's what I had to do. I had to open my heart to allow God to love me. I had to open my heart to allow God to love me. I got to let you love me. And then I got to let you shine that flashlight and say, now listen here. There's some things you can do better at, and you got to say yes. Amen. But you're not going to be able to love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and body. The only person that did that was Jesus. And that's the reason why He's the mediator between God and man. Can I get an amen? Amen. So real quick, because I didn't know I was going this long. Real quick, let's go to James real quick. Is anyone among you sick? Now watch this, we're going to go through this. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. So if somebody said, you're down at Safeway, let me finish the verse. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. First of all, notice James asked a question. Is anyone among you sick? See, this is only about 15 years, maybe 10, 15 years after Jesus has left. Do you know that Jesus and the apostles and the 70 that he sent out virtually wiped sickness and disease from Israel? They healed everybody. Healing's part of the deal. So he asked a question. Here's basically what he's saying. Have we missed anybody? See, is anyone among you sick? Did we miss anybody? And by the way, sickness will come back. So you can get healed of one thing, and then you got to get something else comes on you. So he says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. You run into somebody and they tell you, I'm an elder of a church. You know what you need to ask them? The first question? Not whether they've been divorced or they paid their 10%. You got to ask them, do you believe in healing? Because the Bible says the elder is the person you call to get healed. And if they say, no, that passed away with the apostles, you tell them, I'm sorry, buddy, but you're not an elder. All right. Now watch this. Verse 14. Go back to 14. I'm sorry, Jordan. Notice the instructions is we call for the elders of the church. We pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith. Does everybody say that? And the prayer of faith. Say it. And the prayer of faith. Not the prayer of doubt, not the prayer of hope, not the prayer of maybe, but the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick. That's a bad translation. And because save in this save is, includes healing. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And look at this right here. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. See, you can be sick because of sin. No question about it. Jesus ran into the guy in chapter 5 of John and found him and said, sin no more, lest the worst thing come on you. Can I get an amen? Amen? Y'all see that? So not only do you get your body healed, but you get your sins forgiven. But here's the verse I want to key on, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another. Now, I've done some of that this morning. I've been leading a dual life. And I'm gonna do better. I'm not gonna use the word try. I'm gonna say I'm gonna do better. And I'm gonna consciously go out the door on my way to my CPA practice and my financial advising practice, and I'm gonna consciously recognize that I'm a Christian there just as much as I'm a Christian here. Can I get an amen? Right? So I've confessed that. I'm gonna confess one more thing and then I'm gonna quit and let you share something. and pray for one another. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Say this with me. Everybody start at the word the. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Say it one more time. All right, I'm almost finished. Dual life, and then Ephesians chapter 4 is probably where I have made my worst transgressions, if you will. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. You know what that probably means? We left James, we won't go back to it, but you know, if you practice verse 29, it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. You know what that probably means? You probably have to spend most of your day not talking. And James said, be swift to hear and slow to speak. Mark Browning has been swift to speak and slow to hear. But let no, so here's what I'm doing on my way to work now. I'm quoting this verse. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know why this revival broke out? You know why this revival broke out? You know what caused the revival to break out? Is people unlocked the Holy Spirit back into their life because they admitted that they grieved Him. Make no mistake about it. That's what's going to bring revival. That's what's going to bring the Holy Spirit back into our lives, when we admit that we need You. We can't do it without You. That we have failed and fallen short. But with Your goodness and grace and Your mercy, we can come back and overcome. Because we're not going to grieve the Holy Spirit with our corrupt words and our corrupt thinking and our corrupt doing. And we're going to allow Him to filter that out of our lives. I'm telling you, friends. See, God didn't do any of the bad stuff. But God will let you do bad stuff if you want to. If you don't believe that, when you get to heaven, go talk to Adam and Eve. Next verse. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32. And be kind to one another. Boy, I love this word. I wish I could operate this. Anybody ever had this? Tender-hearted. We're hard-hearted. We're not tender-hearted. We're hard-hearted. See, hard-hearted people can sit down and watch junk on TV. That's what hard-hearted people can do. Hard-hearted people can watch pornography. Are you listening to me? See, hard-hearted people can do that. Tender-hearted people won't do that. We got to get to a place where we look at something and we say, does that glorify God? So let me tell you what's happened in my life. I basically got to go to bed about 7:30 or 8 o'clock because there's nothing on TV I want to watch. So I'm getting plenty of rest. Forgiving one another even as God in Christ forgave you. Al's got something he wants to share, but here's what I want us all to do. Do what the guy did at Asbury College and examine yourself, because the Holy Spirit will move where love has been introduced. And not love of men or love of stuff, but love of God. Amen? I think there's one other thing I need to share with y'all. I have been called to be a Bible teacher. And I was brought up under the charismatic church. And I have actually experienced a revival and been in a situation where all you had to do was strum a guitar and the Holy Spirit would move and people's hearts would be touched. And I think we're seeing that again. because I think that people have gotten to a point where sin and evil has abounded to such a degree that people understand they got to turn to God for help. Again, I know that we talk about this a lot, but it needs to be talked about because we have to be the people that stop it. And I believe we're having some level of success. I mean, when they start talking about cutting off body parts and telling young people that, telling girls they're not supposed to have breasts and telling men they're not supposed to have what they have and asking them to go somewhere and get them cut off and change sex, you have turned over to a place that at least is on the same level as Sodom and Gomorrah. At least on the same level as Sodom and Gomorrah. So I do firmly believe, and of course we've said it for a long time, the church has always said it, but I do firmly believe that Jesus is coming back. There is a limit to what God will see. Now you have to understand something. You need to see this. This is 2 Corinthians 5:19. Jordan, 2 Corinthians 5:19. You need to understand that we still live in the age of grace, and it's not too late for anybody at this moment. It's still not too late for anybody at this moment to turn and have their sins forgiven and get connected with God. Because, see, you have to understand that this verse right here, that is that God was in Christ. Everybody say that. God was in Christ. See, and that's why I keep trying to get people interested in the Bible, because if you want to find out about God, you got to go find out about Jesus, because we know for sure God's there. God's in Christ. Not only is God in Christ, but Christ was God. Amen. This is, let me say this about the sermon the gentleman preached. Oh my goodness, it was so good. Let me say this. The only people he offended in his sermon was anybody that was attempting to get saved through religion. That's the only people he offended. He offended anybody that thought that they could somehow earn salvation. He reminded them that religion is what kills people. Religion is what kills people. And Christian religion has killed billions of people, because Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But anyway, in this verse it says that God was in Christ. Notice this, reconciling the world to himself and not imputing. That's an accounting word. A better way to say it where people understand it. He's not holding their trespasses to them and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That, in my opinion, was the most prominent and best thing that that church offered all those 4,000 or 5,000 people. They offered everybody in their reconciliation. They recognized that Jesus is God. They recognized that God was in Jesus. They recognized that God's not holding our trespasses unto us. But if you don't come to Jesus, then nobody's paid for your sins, and you'll have to pay for them yourself, and you don't want to go there. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. One of the reasons why I want to stay connected to Al, first of all, it's because he's been such a help to me and he's all in. But the other reason is that I am not the best person available to be able to lead people after a... In other words, remember you asked me to pray, and I forgot to pray. I forgot to pray because I get all taught, wrapped up in what I'm talking about, and then I forget about praying. You need the balance here of somebody that can lead us a little bit better in the Spirit, because I'll keep teaching you the Word, and the Spirit and the Word will agree. Can I get an amen? So again, we're gonna keep pressing forward. We're going to glorify God. I would ask you humbly to do what I've done and let God evaluate you and look and tell you and ask Him to let Him love you again and experience that first love. Amen. Let's stand up on our feet. Let's just minister with each other. Let me do this. We got a few minutes. Listen, if you want to do something, Al, come on up here with me. If you want to do something this morning and just come down to the altar, and by coming down to the altar, you're saying to the Holy Spirit and you're saying to God that you're willing to let Him speak to you and identify to you the things that we need to decrease so that He can increase. If you want to come down to the altar and just do that this morning, come on. Let's do that together. Come on. I'm telling you, it's done wonders for me. It's done wonders for me. Amen. That's so amazing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You know what I'm going to do now? I need you to stay with me. I'm going to touch your forehead. I'm just going to touch your forehead because I know the Holy Spirit's got on Leslie here. Amen. I know that. I see that right there. Amen. Oh, yeah. The first love. You love him because he loves you. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? Yes. Amen. 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 Let's lift our hands up. The Bible says to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. And let's just say this. Say, dear Lord, you're God, and I'm not. And I recognize today that there's way too much of the world in me. And I want that first love. I want the love that was placed in my heart. That's never left. To manifest. Through me. And I know how that'll happen. It'll happen when I decrease. And you increase. So I'm going to turn off the world. And I'm going to turn on the Word. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to think about it. And then I'm going to have the courage to do what it says. And I know you'll bless me. Because James says, doers of the word are blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Receive that. Receive that. Will you get behind them? I feel the presence of God on me, and I don't want anybody... In Jesus' name, in the glorious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Might as well start here at Life in Christ Church at the 8:30 service. Amen. Amen. Who knows, we might get on YouTube. Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We thank you, Lord, for sending this man our way.
Yes, Jesus.
And we thank you that if God be for us, who can be against us? Let me tell you a verse that really and truly got me through this. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. You are dismissed in Jesus' holy, glorious name.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Thank you.